Our Bible reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 2. It's on the order of service, but I'm going to read the verse before verse 6 and then launch into it in order to make sense. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, let us just pray a moment. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. And we pray that you will accept the worship of our lips. And now as we look at your word, the worship of our minds and hearts as well, teach us, we pray by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. So this morning, we bring to you a conclusion. This whole series we've been following through Advent, focusing on this particular passage. And hopefully you're all now fairly familiar with this wonderful passage about our Lord Jesus Christ. And that as you've been reading day by day, well, many of you have been reading day by day, so you've been encouraged and you've found that you've grown in your depth of discipleship. And you're longing to love others, to serve the world and to bring this faith to other people during this Advent and Christmas period, because we have such a great God. I think it's because we have such a great God that I decided to give up geography teaching. I thought at the end of the day, there's more important things that people need to know about than rocks and geography. Now, I know some of you are looking shocked at that, but anyway. As a former geography teacher, I always thought that the Dead Sea at 430 metres below sea level was the lowest point on the land. But I was fascinated to read earlier this week that a canyon has been discovered on the Antarctic landmass that has previously been hidden by the ice sheet, that is actually 3,500 metres below sea level. That's seven times deeper than the lowest point on the land. It makes you wonder, how low can you get? And this Advent, as we've been following the story of Jesus, it really has been about how low can he get in his descent from heaven, from being in very nature God. How low could he get? We have seen he made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant, was made in human likeness. He humbled himself, was obedient to death, even to death on a cross. And last week, that's where we left things, remembering that as we celebrate Christmas, the eternal Son of God, for our sake, descended through the cradle to the curse of the cross and a God-forsaken death. Is that where it ends? Well, not if you join with me in our opening carol at our carol service this evening. We will sing, and our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love, for that Christ, so dear and gentle, is our Lord in heaven above. Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by we shall see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. So how will that change take place from the most debased depths of the cross to the most exalted heights of heaven? Well, let's see what Paul teaches in verses 9 to 11. And we see here, firstly, that God reverses humanity's verdict. The human race, without exception, was content to have Jesus done away with. His disciples abandoned him. Peter denied even knowing him. Judas betrayed him. The Jewish leaders arrested him, mocked him, and handed him over to the Roman authorities. The wider population chanted for his death. Pilate and his soldiers condemned and crucified him. Not a single voice of humanity spoke up for Jesus. Humanity was happy to get on with life without Jesus. And actually, I wonder if today, how much of our lives, even our Christmas celebrations, that will be true too. Yes, there will be the presents, the tree, the decorations, the special meal, the sitting around the TV, the children doing the nativity and whatever else. But will there be any consciousness of Jesus as we go through our celebrations and into the new year? Is it possible that our practical verdict on Jesus, though less brutal than the cross, is just as damning as it was back then? But see what God did. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus isn't dead and mouldering in the grave. He is alive and exalted to God the Father's right hand as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now when a judgment is overturned, there is always glory for the victors. And earlier this week, I guess many of you will have seen that the Democrats in the House of Representatives have impeached Donald Trump. And there is absolutely no doubt, given how partisan things are, that very shortly the Republicans in the Senate will reverse the verdict. And Donald Trump will glorify in that. But can I say that is as nothing compared with God's reversal of humanity's verdict on Jesus. God the Father stamped his approval on everything about Jesus humbling himself in his descent to the cross and replaced the crown of thorns with the crown of crowns. Kingdoms and nations will rise and fall over the centuries, but one king and his kingdom now stands forever. And that is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God having reversed the judgment, the second thing Paul teaches us in this passage is that there will then be universal acknowledgement of Jesus as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. One day Jesus will come again, not this time as an infant in the squalor of an animal feeding trough to be rejected by the world. This time, Jesus will return to earth as the rightful king and ruler of the universe. And every knee will bow and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that is the destination of history. It is the point to which all things are leading. And it's the moment we remind ourselves of and look forwards towards every Advent season, no longer looking to the infant, but looking to the Lord in glory. And this is a moment that was spoken of centuries before the birth of Jesus, possibly something like 600 BC or even earlier, before Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 45, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But all the descendants of Israel will find deliverance in the Lord and will make their boast in him. Did you notice that? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess who he is, where history is leading, to the universal acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord and Saviour. But did you notice within that prophecy of Isaiah that Paul teaches us is fulfilled in Jesus' exaltation? Did you notice this one thing? That there will be those who have been swimming against the tide of the Lord's purposes, for whom this will be a moment of shame. He says, to remind you of those words, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. There will be those who rejoice in deliverance, and there will be those for whom Jesus' coming is a moment of great shame. Yes, all will acknowledge Jesus as the rightful Lord of all, but sadly for some, it will be a grudging acknowledgement made for the first time in response to the overwhelming manifestation of Jesus' glory. And that grudging acknowledgement will not be one that brings salvation. There will be division between those who are saved and those who are not. And what is the key to that? Well, in a sense, it's where this whole series looking at this passage begins. Have this attitude among you that was in Christ Jesus, namely, to humbly submit to God the Father. That was the attitude of Jesus. And that is the attitude which we are called to follow in faith, to trust in God through Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be ready. And Jesus warned us to be ready because for some, when he appears in glory, it will be too late. Being ready now means living by faith that Jesus is Lord day by day, rather than waiting to be confronted by such an overwhelming display of his glory that we're shamefully forced to acknowledge him. And so this passage forces me to ask myself whether I'm amongst those swimming against the tide of history, living our lives without acknowledgement of Jesus, without humbly submitting to God day by day in all that we do. Living our lives without Jesus is like a child on a beach furiously building a sandcastle as the tide advances, building the ramparts and the ditches of our arguments against him as a defense against his claim and his call over our lives. Or perhaps simply turning our back on the tide and building our sandcastles higher and higher, ever more furiously, as the first waves of Jesus lap against the edge and undercut our foundations. It may be that some of you here this morning are still trying to decide whether to submit your life to Jesus or not. Can I say what this passage tells us? And what the Bible consistently tells us is the tide is coming in, not with an infant in a manger, but with the Lord in glory as our judge, to whom all must bow and acknowledge his rightful claim over us. Can I encourage you to look again at his descent from heaven, what Jesus in his love for you chose to do for you, even to death on a cross, and then lift your eyes to see him on his way, coming again as the Lord of glory, as surely as the tide comes in, and delay no longer, but be ready to welcome him into your hearts and lives this Christmas and into the new year. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your example as the eternal Son, eternally living in glory with the Father and the Spirit, and yet so humbling yourself for our sake. We thank you for your very great love for us. And as we wait expectantly for your promised return, make each one of us ready, we pray, to welcome you joyfully, to bow our knee joyfully, and to confess your name joyfully rather than in shame, for Jesus' sake. Amen.